Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of the hour by a very dear man. He is a very dear friend of mine, and he is as true and as earnest a Christian as any I have ever known. His name is Mr. Fran Novak. Fran shared his story with us once before, a number of years ago, and I am have been wont to bring him back for a fresh conversation. Fran, welcome to the broadcast afresh.
Thank you very much, Brad. It's just a great pleasure to be here and to have this opportunity to talk together.
Well, it is a delight. I believe our audience will be refreshed and edified. We're going to explore your story of faith up front, but I just want the audience to know later in the broadcast, we're going to be talking with you. You have been on the receiving end of the Family Life Award, courtesy of the St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation. It must be such an honor, Fran, and I can't think of anyone worthier. But we'll pursue that particular issue in just a bit. Up front, I would love for our audience to get better acquainted with you. You have a true and deep story of Christian faith. Would you begin to share, please, with us?
Sure. Well, I grew up in southwestern Pennsylvania, a humble background. My father was a coal miner, and we were a family of five, three boys and mother and father, and grew up there, and I had a wonderful childhood, loving parents. And we grew up Catholic and practicing in the Catholic faith. And at the age of 14, my older brother, who was 8 years older than me, my other brother was 3 years older, but my brother of 8 years older had been in the service and came back from the service serving in the Army. And tragically was killed in an automobile accident. So it turned our family upside down. We had been practicing Catholics. I had received all my sacraments as a Catholic boy. But my mother just couldn't find peace within the Catholic Church. So she ended up leaving to go to a non-denominational Protestant church. And took my father and myself with her. I fought it for a while, but I thought I couldn't have peace unless I went. And what I found was I found loving people. So my several years then of high school and college, I spent those 6 years attending that Protestant church. And at that church, I received my first Bible, a little blue New Testament. And at the age of 18, I started reading the Bible every morning and praying. And at the age now of 60 plus years later, I continue to do that every single day, read a chapter in the Bible and pray. And of course, now that I'm retired, that time is an hour to an hour and a half, you know, first thing in the morning. But the faith that I got through attending that church was monumental. My relationship with the Lord through all that I experienced was great background. And that kind of was a foundation for me as then. I had been dating my girlfriend from her. She was 15. I was 16. She was Catholic. And so I ended up after graduating from college and she graduating from nursing school, coming back into the Catholic Church and being married in the Catholic Church. And what I thought at the time was what I have gained over these last 6 years, I want to give to my Catholic friends, because I felt they didn't have the love of the scriptures and know Jesus as I knew him.
Well, if you will allow me, forgive me for interjecting, friend, but if you will allow me, I want to stop you there and we'll pick up. But you came out of Catholicism found yourself immersed within the Protestant realm, and then found yourself returning to the Catholic tradition. But clearly the accent upon scripture within the Protestant realm was a great blessing to you, if you will, an eye-opener. Was there anything else within the Protestant realm that by which you profited during, we'll call it your interregnum period between early Catholicism and later more mature Catholicism? What else within that Protestant realm did you find to be helpful?
Well, I think community, the people were friendly. There was a lot going on, more than in the Catholic Church at that time. And again, things have changed dramatically, which will come later on. Yeah, but at that time in the 1950s, things were quite different. And so the music, the pastor and his wife had beautiful voices, and the music and the I memorized a number of the hymns that we sang, and I say we're because we were praying to God as we sang these hymns, and then that certainly was something different as well. So those kinds of things, the community, the worship, the friendships, scriptures, Bible study through Sunday school, was all, and we went Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night. So I was, and at the same time, my mother had on Billy Graham or some of the televangelists or preachers on the radio, which was very prevalent back in those days. And it gave me this hunger to share my faith with others.
Well, you know, Fran, what I love of your story, I recently, earlier this year, we had Father Dennis Gill from the Cathedral Basilica on the Ben Franklin Parkway. And while he never had a Protestant phase within his story of faith, he does recall when he was a young man, as a Catholic, he was involved ecumenically with Protestant churches. So for him, there was never that classic divide between Protestant and Catholic, apart from the theological issues. He recognized freely and joyfully that Protestants were fellow believers. You obviously, very singular position. You can discern the presence of Christ in both, within the framework of both traditions, Protestant and Catholic. And now to go back to your initial premise, you would take all that you acquired within your Protestant phase, hymnody and worship on the one, Bible study and good community fellowship on the other. You would, if you will, go back to your Catholic tradition with these things in tow. So pick up where you left off on that front. When you returned to Catholicism, was it a challenge for you? Was it a joy for you? Was it an admixture of the two?
Well, there was something in me that said that's where I should be. And I went to church, it took a little while for me to fully admit myself, let's say, back into the Catholic Church. It took a little while, not a long time, but it took a little while. But I talked to my high school friends and my college friends about faith, and they still to this day, some of my high school friends from way, way back, of course, in college would say how I impacted them and their faith. And many of those were Catholic, some were Protestant. And just to kind of fast forward, we'll come back to this later, but in Alpha, which is one of the ministries I've been involved in for over 20 years, we are non-denominational. We have Catholics, we have Presbyterian, we have Baptists, we have Methodists, we have evangelicals, we have people that have no faith, that come in and have no faith, have no belief, but then come to faith. And we don't ask you what your denomination is when they come into Alpha. We just talk about the Lord and the love of the Lord, and the Lord loves us, and we just want to love him back.
Absolutely. And, you know, Fran, from my vantage point, as you know, I'm a Baptist preacher. Broadly speaking, I'm a conservative evangelical within the Protestant realm. But I have always had a deep and abiding respect and appreciation for the Catholic Church. Recently, I actually attended a Mass, not something I always have time for given my own schedule, but recently I attended a Mass that was very enriching to me. I recently attended a Catholic ordination service at St. Xavier in the Fairmount District of Philadelphia. You know, there's a deep level of reverence that plays out within the Catholic framework for worship that we don't necessarily have within the Protestant realm. You might have pockets of it. There's an aesthetic even to the theological foundations of Catholicism. I don't have to agree with every particular to appreciate the theological aesthetic. So I'm just so happy that a man like yourself, you are an avowed Catholic with a deep appreciation, if you will, for the other side, your Protestant brethren. I praise God for this. Brad Lacey and Mr. Fran Novak, we return with another round of The Great Message in just a moment. Brad Lacey, Mr. Fran Novak, returning for a second round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Fran, you've been sharing your story of faith in a kind of nutshell manner. And you also made reference to the fact that when you returned to your Catholic tradition, you returned armed with a desire for your Catholic brethren to begin to learn more of the Bible, even to begin learning more of the sharing of one's faith. And when I first met you, and we're going back now, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, we were sitting in Andy's Diner in Plymouth Meeting, and you were at one table counseling this lovely young African-American gal. She was beginning a ministry. I was there with a friend of mine, and I couldn't help but overhear the conversation. I couldn't help but observe the Christ-like deportment that you were presenting. And I extended an introduction, and we've been friends ever since. Tell us about your life in ministry, witness, and service now. I mean, you're talking 60 years or so, and I know how earnest you are to serve our Lord. Begin to share with us as an audience what you're doing and how God's at work.
Yes. I have, since retirement, basically volunteered in a sense full time with a number of different ministries. I mentioned earlier Alpha, which is a 10-week course on basic Christianity. The first, you meet 10 weeks of, say, 10 Wednesday nights, for instance. And the first night you get together, you have a meal, you have a teaching, and then you break into small groups. And that first night is, what is the meaning of life? And so I've been involved in that again, and it takes you right through that Jesus is the answer. And you have people come to that who have no faith, or they could be agnostic or atheist or lukewarm Christians. And they, through their testimonies, you hear how their lives have changed. So I've been privileged to take many people to Alpha, to the courses. I've picked up people. I took six the first time, six the second time, and then I took a bunch more. And so I said, I'll pick you up. I invite them and say, I'll take you. But so that's been a big part. Again, that's evangelism. In the last dozen years, or 15 actually, if I count them all, I began a ministry called Christ Life, which is a Alpha being non-denominational. Christ Life is Catholic in basis, although almost no Catholicism is taught in the three segments of Christ Life. It takes you from discovering Christ, which is 7 weeks, to following Christ for 7 weeks, and then sharing Christ. So it moves you along from the opportunity of a conversion, a transformation, an encounter in discovering Christ. Even if you're a church-going person, you can know him deeper or in a new way. Or if you don't know him at all, then you're curious, and then you can have this experience or deeper experience. And then how do I live that out? through daily personal prayer, through scripture reading, through forgiving one another, to dealing with the secular world and all the temptations that everybody faces, and then sharing Christ. How do I share my faith without throwing it in the face of someone? But gently sharing your faith because you are available anytime, anywhere to be able to tell the good news. And I've done this so many times I've lost count of anywhere, in a parking lot, in a grocery store, over a meal or any place. But so Christ Life is a big ministry that I actually brought into our church, and then further took it to the Archdiocese, where more than 30 churches now run Christ Life from our initial start about 15 years ago. We've had 800 people come to our church attending the Discovering, Following, and Sharing. And then there's others evangelization, as I use that term, or evangelism of being able to share the good news through other things like landings, which was welcoming back people that had left the church. We had a program of that for about 4 years, and many others, actually. But my passion through my upbringing and listening to the radio and the televangelist and my mother and others, and then experiencing it in the church, Harbor of Light Chapel, the non-denominational church, that's my passion, to help others come to faith or a deeper faith.
You know, friend, I it thrills me to the core. It truly does. You know, something that I do, it's maybe a little different than your approach, but it's comparable. As president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, I'm always carrying with me portions of God's word, whether in booklet or leaflet form. I feel like I'm, you know, Batman had his bat belt and I have my scripture belt of sorts. And so when I'm in a restaurant or in a checkout line, and I make a point to establish a rapport with the individual. I want that person to know I have a genuine regard for them, for who they are. They're made in God's image. They may be like me, as we all are. We're all sinners in need of God's grace, but we're also all made in his image, even if that image has been tarnished. So I can establish a rapport and a mutual appreciation. And then I make a point to put the word of God in their hands if they're willing to receive it. I don't bait and switch. I tell them what it is. And I have found something. And prior to COVID, the percentages were not as high. But since the COVID era, I will go on record and say that almost every single person, man or woman, to whom I offer the word of God, they receive it gladly and appreciatively. There's something in the air right now, Fran, amidst the anxiety and the like. There's a hunger. And often I'll have opportunity to pray with people as well. And so I when I hear you share your story, I'm thrilled because I feel that I have a soulmate, and I actually think you take it to the next level where I have not as of yet. I'm not minimizing what I do, but you go to the next level, and I praise God for your story. Fran, there's something else that you do, and within a one-minute framework before our next break, it might be unduly personal, so I'm not asking for details, but you also write a weekly letter to your broader family concerning the good news of Jesus Christ. To whatever extent you're comfortable, would you share about that weekly letter?
I started this 5 years ago. I wanted to put into my family's hands something spiritual every week to have them think. So it's something about me personally, something that's happened to me this past week. And there's always something going on that I can share from a personal testimony, something that happened to me, some person that I've talked to. But it's all about the Lord, about his love for each one of us. He cares for us. He knows about us. And that He's just a Lord that he's God is great, God is good, and the great message, the great message. So I give them a message. And this past Sunday, just a couple days ago, I wrote about my award dinner and what I said, my remarks after receiving that award plaque, and I can talk about that later. But basically, it is. It is not you who have chosen me, says the Lord, but it is I who have chosen you to bear fruit, fruit that will last, from John chapter 15, verse 16, and I expanded on that.
That's a beautiful, friend, it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. I mean that sincerely. I praise God that you do it. You've been willing to share, albeit briefly. We're going to return to discuss that award. Brad Lacey, Mr. Fran Novak, we return in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Mr. Fran Novak returning for the third round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. And Mr. Novak, my dear friend Fran, has been sharing concerning his ministry of witness and evangelism. He is joyfully hard at it throughout the course of the week over a period of decades. Praise God. And I think a worthy recipient, if ever there was one, of the St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation, its Family Life Award. Fran, I believe you received this award last Friday night, December 12. I want you to tell us about it.
Yes, I did. It was what the award stated on the plaque is for exemplifying virtues promoting family life a Christian fraternity in the church and local community, and it's called the Family Life Award. And basically, the St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation, which is a foundation that is operated by the Mercedarian Friars, which is a Catholic group of priests and brothers, and they... their ministry, as far as St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation, which was the presenter of this award, they principally work with families in crisis. That would be marriages that are in trouble. It could be addictions. It could be the poor or needy in a serious way. Could be the divorced or separated, and they offer programs on bringing people information and knowledge and suggestions on how to deal with things. They have podcasts. They also do free pastoral counseling and consulting. So if you have a situation, a marriage that's suffering or you know, you're being mistreated or something of that nature, you can set up a free appointment, and they do these as long as you want to. So, and they offer prayer and so forth. So it's a great ministry to help families in crisis and in pastoral care in different ways. So receiving that, just thinking about, you know, why was I chosen? My wife and I, Arlene and I, who have been married now in May, this May of this coming year, it'll be 60 years that we will be married. And it's a wonderful marriage of she and I are deeply in love with our Lord. And we want that to be understood and known and incorporated in the lives of our family and friends and others. So some of the things that we've done to, let's say, be considered for this award was, for instance, we've helped a family in Allentown, a family of six, for over 15 years. And I just took the mother shopping for Christmas last Monday, filled up the car with presents. I've done that for, like I say, over 15 years. And I've taken her husband. He has cancer, bone cancer, so bone marrow cancer. I've taken him into the hospital a few times, spent the entire day. And so done a lot of things over the years for them. They're a family that has health problems and all kinds of situations. Another family out of Phoenixville, a mother with two boys, a mixed marriage of people of color. She's white and her husbands were dark skinned. The boys are very smart and doing well, but she has MS and autoimmune disease, so is unable to work. So we've helped them financially. In fact, this week, Thursday, we will be taking them out to dinner and giving them a check each for Christmas. We've helped there's a Christian Children Fund and Child Fund group that we've helped for 53 years. And we've helped generations of children and their families. And these are spread out different places. So we've helped them to be able to make in these modest dwellings that some of them are in, help them add space by being able to buy construction material. We've helped them do that, and sewing machine for a woman that wanted to make clothing, and goats, buying goats for a family so they could have goat milk and sell the milk, and on and on. So that's been a long history of helping them. And then the Legion of Mary Brother House in Norristown, maybe some of the listeners might be familiar. These are homeless men that come in for a meal, shower, clothing, haircut, so forth. And I was part of that for a number of years, helping and talking to the men, providing the food. And then we prayed at the end of the meeting, and we would pray with them. So, but it was not, it was all not demeaning or not looking down at anybody, but encouraging them and telling them that God loves them and cares about them and knows about their struggles. So we've been able to support many individuals and many Christian ministries through our time and our talent and our treasure.
Well, friend, I can't imagine, knowing you as I do, knowing your caliber, you're a man of humility, I can't imagine you doing anything that would be condescending. Everything that you do would be, by your estimate, by your desire to be for the enrichment of others. You know, it makes me think, I've been serving the Lord now formally for 38 years as pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken. I began my 39th year, literally, late last week. So I'm now in my 39th. And I have a small church, and sometimes it's a struggle to keep things going. But God is faithful, and He's always allowed us to be fruitful. And, you know, you have ups and downs and times of turmoil and times of unity and joy. But I've learned something through it all. I've learned that, at least for me, and I strongly suspect this is true of you, correct me if I'm wrong, I've learned for myself that my reward is to be had in the act of service itself. I've come now to, I take great joy in the act of service unto my Lord. I believe that's true of you. You project that. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Oh, you are absolutely right on. I don't think of using the time, using the money or anything. It's just go do it. Go do what, do the right thing. And it doesn't even cross my mind that's going to take so much time or it's going to be a sizable amount of money or something. It's I want to serve the Lord. And everything I do, I want to say, Lord, it's for your honor. It's for your glory. It's not about me. Nothing about me. It's about you. And we want people to know you because you love them. You love them first. And we want them to experience your love and your care and your healing and the joy that can be had through knowing you as Lord and Savior. And that joy is what motivates me, the joy of being of service to others and serving our Lord and God.
You know, I share with you the depth of that sentiment. We have a gentleman in my church. He's been with us now for about 21 years. A very dear man, very faithful man. Came amongst us as a young believer. He's a man in his 70s now. But very quiet guy, which is fine. I tend to be more of a talkative type. We need both. But over the last year, we're beginning to see this man literally blossom before our eyes in spiritual terms. He seems to be more joyful. He always has a word of testimony to give glory to his Lord and Savior. The very texture of his life now, he's immersed in the Bible. He's encouraging the rest of us to carry on through what's been a rather rough year. What a joy it is when you apply yourself in Christian love and Christian service to the need of another. It may take time. In this case, it took many, many years. He was always a joy, don't get me wrong. But now, in these latter days, he's blossoming. Christ is exploding before our eyes in and through him. It is such a beautiful thing. It's more meaningful than money. It's why we exist as believers. And you're a man who understands this. You've devoted your life to service to your Lord and Savior, as have I. And Fran, I follow in your footsteps. And I can take many a cue from you, for which I give glory to God. One more round, Mr. Fran. Brad Lacey and Fran Novak with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey, Mr. Fran Novak, returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Fran, I ask this question not of everyone, but of many. I certainly want to ask it of you. You are a contemporary Christian. You're an older man in terms of years. You're very young at heart, but you are living in a contemporary time. And the challenges that beset us as believers, I guess there have always been challenges, but right now I think they're of a particular caliber and hue. So I want to ask you, as a thinking Christian as well as a practicing one, what concerns you the most and what encourages you concerning the state of faith right now in the contemporary world?
Well, I think from a concern standpoint, I can think of the fall off in church attendance that I've seen. When I was growing up, the churches were full and almost standing room only in some cases. So from going from that as a youth and as a young Christian in my 20s and 30s, more recently, there's been fairly dramatic fall off in church attendance, and it certainly concerns me. Although we read about, and I'll talk about that on what encourages me, that there are some coming back, and some that had no faith that coming to faith. So, but and in the case of the Catholic Church and the Philadelphia Archdiocese, 83% of those registered Catholics do not attend church on the weekend. So 17% do. So there's 83% potential out there. And we have we'll talk about that as far as encouraging.
Well, I will. But if I could cut in just for a moment on that particular issue.
Yeah.
Of course, what one is hearing broadly since the Charlie Kirk assassination back in, I think, was it August or September? One is hearing that a lot of young people have been triggered, they've been distressed, and it seems like the Kirk assassination was a trigger point. In fact, I have a lovely friend who's one of her granddaughters and her husband and their children, they were not church-going people. They were so distressed by what happened with Charlie Kirk that they're now attending a Baptist church in this area. They're attending now regularly and faithfully and earnestly. And one is hearing that nationwide, amongst Generation Z, there seems to be a desire amongst many to return to the church. But more specifically concerning Roman Catholicism, I just learned that the St. Matthew Catholic Church here in Conshohocken, Father Devlin is the pastor. Prior to Father Devlin, my very good friend, Father Tom Heron, I'm being told that young people have been returning to that mass over the last year or so. And on a regular basis, you're beginning to see more young people back in church. Maybe not the majority of them, but it's a significant number to take notice of. I praise God for this. I truly do. But we continue to pray. But along with that would be your primary concern. How about a word of encouragement with what you see?
Well, I see in my church, maybe like in St. Matthew's, I see attendance increasing. We have a daily mass as well as on the weekend, a vigil on Saturday evening, and then three services on Sunday. And when I'm there, well, we're there every weekend, I sense and see that there seems to be more people. I know in the daily mass there are more people, but on the weekend also. So that's encouraging me. The Archdiocese also is developing a plan to address this 83% that are not attending, and they're going to be creating hub churches in the five counties that comprise the Archdiocese. They're going to have 10 hubs per county, or 50 total hubs. So they're doing their first this year, so they have set up five different churches in five counties, and those hubs will then have a staff of 4 to 5 people working full-time, and their job is to go do outreach and use different mechanisms to encourage people to come back into the church to attend and to worship God. And so I think that's very encouraging. In my case, as far as our St. Rose of Lima parish, after we went through in 2025, the 7 weeks of discovering, 7 following, and 7 of sharing, when we concluded the first week of November, the third series, we then, 10 days later on a Saturday, 40 of us went out and knocked on 550 doors and invited them to come to church the next weekend. We said, we're from St. Rose of Lima, and we gave them some information, and we talked to them in a sense of, if you go to church, that's wonderful, or whatever your denomination is, whatever. But anyhow, we knocked on 550 doors, and nobody threw us out. Nobody was mad. It was amazing. And I'm sure that we piqued the interest of many people that hadn't thought about maybe church. We would want them to go back to their church, whatever denomination they were part of, or to come to ours or whatever. But the idea is, it was an open invitation. And we're starting a new Discovering Christ on January 14th. And we've actually invited them, come check it out. Come, because our first night is about what is the meaning of life. Come check it out.
You know, I want you, yeah, it's a wonderful invitation. And I want you to know something comparable playing out within the evangelical world. I interviewed a gentleman, just about a month back, a man named Doug Twinney. And every week, Fran, every week, across the street from Philadelphia City Hall, this man and his comrades, they set up a prayer station. It's a well-identified spot. They have free Christian literature, Bibles to give away. They get to pray with people, introduce people to the gospel. They get a huge number of people who literally check in with them as they're passing by. As a matter of fact, 3 judges from within the Philadelphia court system in City Hall. One day, 3 judges crossed the street at lunch, to ask the prayer station people to pray for them because they had particularly difficult cases before them within their courtrooms. And these prayer stations are playing out, I think, right now in 58 other locales around Philadelphia. It's a wonderful outreach effort, much as your door-to-door is. And I do think, Fran, I do think that it's imperative for us as Christians, however seemingly insignificant the gesture may be, we do need to begin going beyond our walls, beyond our noses, and engaging people in whatever way with which we're comfortable, that there is a gospel of Jesus Christ available to them. I mean, Islamicists are moving forward. I just read about a huge Hindu establishment taking shape down in North Carolina. As Christians, we can't hold back. We need to be sharing. We need to be the light of the world as you are. Fran, I praise God for you. We're out of time. I'm so grateful you would join us. To those of you listening, God bless you. Thanks for listening. God bless.